The following is a recording of the Sunday evening 6 p.m. service of Rangeville Community Church.
Awesome stuff. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word, that you speak to your children, to your people. And we just pray, Father, that we would have ears to hear, that we would listen, that we would hear what it is that you're speaking to each of us. We just thank you for this thought in your name. Amen. So it was about 5 years ago now, I think, that Annette and I got to go and travel over to Turkey. Great country, beautiful place. We were there doing a subject with our Bible college. It's got to be like my favourite subject, hey, getting to go to a different country and travel, and it was really cool. It was the Churches of Revelation, so I got to see places like Ephesus and that, and it was really cool. One of the highlights of our trip for us was our tour guide. This is Nahidi, a beautiful woman. She was just so great, so friendly. You know, she'd been in being a tour guide for over 30 years, so she just like knew everything, or if she didn't, she pretended she did anyway. And she was really cool, and she carried that multicoloured umbrella with her, so that wherever we went, if we were in crowds or whatever, she'd just be walking along with that umbrella, and we could just look out. That's where I got to go. Follow Nahidi. One of the places as well that we got to go visit while we were over there, which was really special, was Gallipoli. And we were actually there for Anzac Day. I think it was like the 99th or the 100th anniversary. And that was really special as we got to go and attend that service. We stayed up all night for the dawn service. And then one of the interesting things that happened was after the dawn service, there's the Lone Pine service. So the dawn service is like right on the beach, and then the Lone Pine service is sort of up on a hill where you've got to sort of walk up to it. It's about an hour and a half walk. And as we were leaving the beach to go up there to the Lone Pine service, we're sort of all walking along in our group, following the people. And as we're walking up, there's this guy on the side of the road, and he's this Aussie guy, and he's wearing medals. And his name was Colin, and he's telling us that actually there's a shortcut to get to the Lone Pine service. And he's telling all the people, hey, there's this really good shortcut through here. Just take this path and you'll get there quicker. And so as a group, we sort of discussed it, you know, do we listen to Nahidi or do we listen to old mate Colin? And Nahidi, you know, in her Turkish accent, I can't sort of do a Turkish accent, but she said something like, I know nothing of this path, you know, don't go that way. It was a bad accent, I know, but she's like warning us, don't go that way, you know, follow me. Well, half of the group decided to follow Nahidi, and about half of us decided to listen to Colin. And of course, you can imagine Annette and I were the half that thought, hey, this should be fun, let's go through the bush and listen to Colin. And so we did. And we're walking along, and we probably were walking for about half an hour when the trail got like really, really thin. Like there was really no trail. And I think about 40 minutes in, I found another picture of Annette. See, there we were. Can you see the trail? I can't see the trail. I don't think we could see the trail at the time. But we kept going for about an hour. And I don't have a picture, but I still remember in my mind there were points where we were just like completely bush bashing. Like it was, you know, overgrown over us. We're bush bashing. And it was about an hour through that you could start to hear the panic rising in some of the people's voices. You know, uh-oh, we're properly lost right now. We are completely lost. And it was about that point that we actually heard this voice. And by the way, Colin had just gone off, right? And so it was about that sort of point in that we heard this voice calling out somewhere in the bushes saying, oh, is there some people over there? Do you know where you're going? Where's the way? And we sort of made our way over to this voice, and it turns out it was Colin's voice in the bush. And he said to us, you know, do you guys know where you're going? And we're like, what are you talking about? You're the one that told us to come this way. Where are we going? And he said, oh, well, I've actually never been this way. I don't know where I'm going. Couldn't believe it. And anyway, we decided, okay, let's turn back. And about 4 hours later, we made it to the Lone Pine service eventually. And the lesson I learned was Trust your tour guide, not some random Aussie on the side of the road. In Galatians 5, Paul's been comparing two types of guides or leaders in our lives. There's these two voices we can hear, we can listen to. And he contrasts the leading of the Holy Spirit or listening to the voice of the flesh, as Paul calls it. In the Greek, it's sarx. It's the flesh. It's the sinful nature. And Paul says, you know, you have the Holy Spirit. You can listen to him. You can be led by him. And if you listen to him, he's going to lead you down a great path. It's going to be an awesome path. It's the path of the abundant life that Jesus spoke about. It's a path that actually what comes out is the fruit of the Spirit that we read. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, all these good things. But he warns us there's another voice that's going to try and lead you. And if you listen to that voice, the flesh, you know, he's the Colin in the story. And it's going to go down a path that is dangerous for you. It's a path that is displayed or that's exhibited what we read, the acts of the flesh. And we spent a whole number of weeks unpacking the acts of the flesh. And really, that's a path that leads ultimately to death and destruction. And tonight we're focusing on this idea of what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, when it comes to being led by the Holy Spirit, a lot of the times we can think about, you know, the fact that God leads us. Sometimes I think when we think about being led by the Holy Spirit, we think about the big decisions we make in life. You know, God's going to lead us in the career we take, the job we choose. You know, God, who should I marry? Who should my boyfriend or girlfriend be? These sort of big decisions in life. And you know what? So often, and God will guide us and speak to us and give us wisdom in these areas, but so often the leading of this Holy Spirit is actually in the day-to-day. It's in the day-to-day little steps that we take. It's in the day-to-day listening to him. And sometimes it's in that leading and that prompting, and sometimes it's in such small little steps that we don't even realize that's what's going on. He's leading us, he's speaking to us, and we're listening and obeying. And what we're going to focus on tonight is how the Holy Spirit leads us, because when we look at Galatians 5, the context of being led by the Spirit, Paul says, is this whole area of displaying the fruit of the Spirit. That's about the fact that we actually, when we're led by the Spirit, we actually grow. We change. It's the idea that Jesus said, you know, you need to be clean from the inside out. It's that character development. We actually change who we are as we become more and more like Christ Jesus. And here's how we know if we are being led by the Spirit. And you can ask yourself, just ask yourself, you don't need to answer it out loud. Ask yourself this question very simply. Am I growing? Am I growing? That's the sign of whether we're being led by the Spirit or not. Am I growing in my Christ likeness? Am I growing when it comes to displaying the fruit of the Spirit in my life? It's not just the stuff we do, like getting on worship team or going to Bible study or speaking in front of people. It's not just about the stuff we do, but are we actually growing from the inside out? Is there evidence that the fruit of the Spirit is on display in our life? If so, we are being led by the Spirit. And if we look at our lives and we see, hey, there is no evidence that I'm growing in the fruit of the Spirit, we actually need to stop and even question our faith. Because here's the thing. Paul says elsewhere in Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. You know, if we are believers in Christ, if we are his disciples, if we are in Christ, then we have the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's an absolute guarantee that you will grow, that you will change, that you will be led by him. You can't be in Christ Jesus and not actually be led by the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit. It's actually impossible for a believer, for someone who has the Holy Spirit in them, to actually not grow, to not change. It's an impossible thing. We must be changed by his power. Otherwise, we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, leading us and guiding us. In verse 16 and 18, Paul gives us this idea of it's really a parallelism. He talks about the fact that we walk by the Spirit in verse 16, and then in verse 18 he talks about the fact that we're led by the Spirit. And so we see the two concepts going on there, that there's the idea that the Holy Spirit leads us, you know, it's His sovereignty, it's His power, He does the work, and yet at the same time, we've got to be in step with the Spirit. We walk by the Spirit. There is a response. There is a partnership that we play. Jesus makes this powerful statement in Matthew 12:33. He talks about the fruit from a tree. And he says, how do you recognize what type of tree you've got? You recognize it by the fruit. And he says, you know, if you don't actually have any fruit, it's actually a dead tree. And that's a powerful, challenging statement that Jesus makes. You know, I've heard it said before that we're saved through faith, not fruit, and yet fruitless faith will never save us either. As James in his letter goes into this in great detail, if we have that faith, there will be that effect, there will be the fruit flowing out from it. And so growing in these qualities, these fruits, means that we are being led by the Spirit. And if not, we can't actually just assume that we have the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, dwelling inside of us. And so we must be growing. But here's the thing I want to say about growth tonight. Look at the analogy that Paul actually gives us. He talks about fruit. It's that idea of fruit from a tree. It reminds me of what Jesus taught. And I don't know if this is the sort of thing that Paul was thinking about when he talks about this analogy. But Jesus spoke to us about this in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain, or abide. Remain in me, abide in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Look at that guarantee. You will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burn. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. That's the power of prayer that Evan was talking about before. Ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. But you know what I found when it comes to planting trees and watching growth? Has anyone actually planted a tree or planted a seed and watched that thing grow? What do you find? It's really, really, really slow. Like, it's slow. Like, it's, you know, the saying, it's like watching paint dry. Watching seed grow into a tree and then bear fruit is even slower than watching paint dry. Who here has been shopping at Woolworths and you get those, we've been doing, going to Woolies to shop, and they give you that little pot plants things. Anyone got those little pot plants? Yeah, Discovery Garden? Oh, no. Sorry to hear that, Kayleen. Got to water it. anyone else been getting those things? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, number of you. We've been doing that, and my three-year-old, Simeon, Annette and I, we've been loving doing it with him. He's like, just loves it so much, you know, getting the little soil out, putting water on it, putting in the pot. You put the seeds in, put the soil back on top. And I remember, like, the first time we did it with him, it's got like a little picture card with it, like of what this seed is going to be. And I think it was like radishes or something. And you could see the radish. And like, we plant it, we do it, and then we put it there. And Simeon's like, just watching it. And it's like, when's the radish is going to appear? Like, when's it going to happen? And I think one of the things he said to me is like, Dad, it's too slow. It's too slow. And, you know, I just thought, I think sometimes, you know, we can say that to our dad in heaven too when it comes to growth. Dad, It's too slow. It's too slow. What's going on? You know, I thought I'd be seeing this happen by now. I thought this would have already taken place. What's going on? And sometimes God just responds to us, hey, abide in me, remain in me, remain in me. And you will see growth. You will see the change. That is the power. That is the promise. That is the power of being led by the Spirit. It means we change, we grow. But the encouragement or the frustration can be that sometimes it can be a slow process. And so I want to encourage you with that, that, you know, it's a powerful statement that Jesus makes, that if you don't see fruit at all in your life, you've got to question your faith, to be honest. You've got to see the fruit. But at the same time, the growth of the fruits in our life sometimes can be a very slow and gradual process as we change. I heard this story by someone that I think really illustrates the power of this gradual and persistent growth in our life. G. Campbell Morgan, he was in Italy, and he was in a graveyard, and he saw that there was this huge marble slab, like, you know, 500 kilogram marble slab over some man's grave, but a little acorn had gotten into the grave, you know, about like 600 years ago or something. And out of that acorn came a shoot, and out of that shoot came a tree, and out of that acorn had come this great tree that had grown so big and tall that it completely split that marble in half. You know, common sense tells us when we look at this acorn, or when we look at this 500 kilogram marble slab, I mean, you try and hit that marble slab, you try and break that thing, and you won't be able to do it. But you know, that is a great illustration of the persistent, gradual growth and the power that it can bring in our life. You know, if the growth of a tree has that kind of power in its gradualness, what kind of power will the Spirit of God have in us? Because, you know, it's not just this is not just fruit we're talking about, but it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's power inside of us. And so one of the things that it means is that we need patience. We need patience, and it also means we need to actually stop and ask the question, you know, what season am I in? What season am I in? And that's something I encourage you to just ask yourself. What season am I in? You know, sometimes there is those times in life where we do see amazing quick growth. You know, it's the springtime, those springtime sort of seasons. And you see the growth and it's happening and it's exciting. For some people, it's like when they first go on that journey with Jesus and they first start opening themselves up to God's word and his voice, and they start to listen to God and they start to obey him and they start to do what Jesus tells them to do, and they just see all this amazing stuff happen so quickly, and they're like, wow, this is awesome. And as they continue the journey, they notice, oh, things are getting a bit tougher. It's a bit of a slower process, and sometimes they can get discouraged. But sometimes it's just a simple fact of the season that we're in. You know, you can't get the spring season without the winter season. So ask yourself that question, what season am I going through at the moment? And you know, the other thing about growth in us and that change that the Holy Spirit does is, you know, we don't actually often feel that we're growing. We don't actually feel that we're growing so often. You don't actually often feel like you've got more patient or you've got more self-control or something like that. You know, it's a bit like, I think of as a kid, I was a sprinter, a runner, and, you know, I would train hard to get faster. But, you know, if you ask me as a 14, 15-year-old kid, like, did you feel faster? You don't really feel like you've gotten any faster. It's not until you're actually tested that you know that you have grown, that you have improved, that you have gotten faster. And, you know, that's the same in our lives as well when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. Sometimes we might not feel like we're growing. We might not feel like we've gotten more patient or self-control. But it's not until we're tested that we realise there has been growth. You know, it's not until we're tested, when someone says something to us in a certain way and we don't actually respond by like punching them or something. And we think, you know what, 2 years ago I would have like gotten so mad at that guy, but I actually showed real patience there. I responded in a positive way. It's not until, you know, we're tested and you might see an image that in the past might have caused you to go down this pathway of just lust, but now you can actually just turn your eyes and you realise, you know what, I have grown so much in this area. You don't always feel it, but you have been growing when you're being led by the Spirit. And talking about the Spirit leading, the Spirit so often leads us into these places of testing. We know that God never tempts us. Satan, the flesh, is who tempts us. But just as we read in Luke chapter 4, Jesus is baptized, he's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the first thing that the Holy Spirit does to lead Jesus, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted, or that word could be translated tested, same word. You know, it might not have felt great for Jesus during that time. I think the next verse says, you know, he was hungry, he was thirsty. One translation says he was famished because he was fasting. It might not have felt great, but how did Jesus respond in that time of the wilderness period? He knew God's word. He was under spiritual attack. But the word of God came out of him. He connected with God and he resisted the enemy. And the result is, as we see in verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit and news about him spread through the whole countryside. The result of the testing and the temptation meant he actually left that wilderness in the power of the Spirit. You know, being led by the Spirit doesn't mean that you won't always face, that you won't face temptations or that you won't wrestle with the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh are at war with one another, Paul says. And you know, a Spirit-led Christian is not a person who experiences no bad desires. A Spirit-led Christian is a person who is actually at war with those desires by the power of the Spirit. And that conflict in your soul that you can face, it's not all bad. Be encouraged that if you feel at times that it's a battleground within you, that's actually a sign of the Spirit's work and his leading in your life. And so as we're led by the Spirit, we understand that we are changed. We are changed. We grow. And it's that sense of gradual and persistent growth that so often brings about the most power and the most change. And like I said, it's so often in that day-to-day stuff. That day-to-day stuff that, you know what, it doesn't get any glory really. It doesn't get any attention. So often it's not even things that you can necessarily share this great, awesome testimony about. But it's that day-to-day promptings and listening and obeying what you hear the Spirit leading you. That's where we see the power of him at work in our lives. And so as we wrap up tonight, I want you to just reflect on these two questions. What is it that you have heard God speaking to you about today? What did God say to me today? Ask yourself that, and I'm going to give you a few minutes just to meditate, just to talk to God, just to reflect on what it is he's been speaking to you. What's the one main thing that you're hearing from God? Perhaps he's been revealing to you what season of life you're in, what he has been working in your life. Perhaps he's been highlighting to you some of the fruit of the Spirit. What's God been saying to me today? If you need to write it down, write it down. And the other question to ask is, well, God, you've been speaking to me, you've been highlighting this in my life. And so, Lord, how can I respond to that? How can I obey? How can I do what you're telling me to do? What will I do with what I've heard? And take time just to think about that, to process that. Again, write something down if you need to.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746 36 1144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.